its current state. From WKAR, good morning, I'm Mark Bayshore. We're glad to have you along here this morning. Reach us via email at currentstate@wkar.org. We're also followable on Twitter at @KARCurrentState. Well, Governor Snyder's much-anticipated State of the State is now behind us for 2013, and Current State's happy to welcome off the records Tim Skubick for a little Thursday morning quarterbacking. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Marky. How are you doing?
Real good. We've been looking forward to this, and we appreciate your being here a lot. Some of our listeners caught your comments last night on WKAR TV.
Mom called. Mom called in? That's great.
But for those who didn't, let's tick through the issues you focused on last night. We've got a Republican governor who wants to raise over $1 billion with new taxes and fees to fix the state's roads. Here's how the governor put it last night.
When I say additional revenue, let's be blunt. These are about user fees. You got a car, you're using the roads. You buy gas, you're using the roads. So it's about user fee increases to pay for this. And what's the numbers? Again, if you stop and look to say it's an annual amount of roughly $1 billion, where would we be in 10 years with this and without it? With this, you can say, well, we're putting up $1 billion a year for 10 years. That's $10 billion. I can do the math on that.
Tim, I'll open with the question that you closed with last night. What are the odds the governor and his fellow Republicans can patch together a new road funding formula in 2013?
As we sit here on this beautiful winter morning, the slim and none. But the vote is not taken today. This governor is relentless in moving forward. He thinks he's doing the right thing. And so I said at the end of the show, after thinking about it for about 2 seconds.
You finally said yes.
Yeah, it was a reluctant yes, but I'm the eternal optimist. I believe at the end of the day, the Democrats will be there to provide votes because this is a Democratic plan. Mark, if right to work had not been part of the equation last night, if what happened in lame duck had not happened, the Democrats would have been crawling all over themselves to applaud the governor for proposing this $1 billion thing for the road. This is a Democratic plan.
Gotcha.
All right, Jennifer Granholm would have done this. Jim Blanchard would have done this. So why last night are they sitting on their hands? Right to work. Okay, so at some time down the road, don't know when it is, they will get together, they will break bread, and they will say, okay, let's put the politics aside and see what we can do. But I would predict here this morning on your program, by the way, thanks for having me on, that the Democrats will develop a wish list and go to the governor and do a little horse trading. Let's play Monty Hall. You give us that, we'll give you this. You give us this, we'll give you votes. But they're not there yet.
We've got Senator Gretchen Whitmer joining us here in just a few minutes, who will join the conversation. Gretchen is passionate about education. All the Democrats are. All of them rail on the cuts to education over the past few years. Could that become part of this horse trading?
Absolutely. And the list will be as long as your arm and my arm. What they get from him is another thing. But here's the harsh reality for this governor. He doesn't have enough Republican votes to do this.
Yeah.
We covered him yesterday morning out in the cold at 8:30. He went into the House Republican caucus, pitched this thing. The chilly reception inside was as cold as it was outside. He knows this. In fact, he went into the House Democratic caucus and said, guys, I'm going to need your votes because the other folks over there in my party are not going to give me the votes. He can't get to 56 with just Republicans. He can't get to 20 in the Senate with just Republicans. He will need the Democrats. They know it. He knows it. It'll be fun to see how they work this dance out.
Did the Democrats' ears perk up when he came to them and made this appeal and made it perfectly clear he's going to need Democratic votes? Did they respond to that?
Well, they know. I mean, you know, in this game, there's an inside game and an outside game. You don't talk about that with the public. He could have said last night, and, you know, with all due respect to my friends over here on this side of the aisle, Democrats, guys, I need your help. But that's not what you do in a state of the state. You do that behind the scene in the inside game. He did extend the olive branch. Somebody on the panel said last night it was an olive leaf. Okay, it wasn't big enough. The reach wasn't long enough. But it was a start. But it'll take more than just saying you want to work together. He's got to lay the groundwork for actually doing it, and he's not there yet.
Is Governor Snyder still a centrist Republican after Right to Work?
In many people's mind, the answer is a resounding no. In fact, all those moderates, some Democrats and moderate Republicans and independents have taken a step back because up to that point, everybody was giving him the benefit of the doubt. He wasn't Bill Milliken, but there were little elements of him. You know, he vetoed the thing on the photo ID for voting. He's done other things that are kind of moderate-like, and then pow, came right to work out of basically nowhere. And then those people said, I think we're going to take another look. And they're still looking. They're still looking.
Well, where are Republicans in the legislature with centrist? Well, clarify this for us.
Sure.
How many Republicans in the legislature can you say have centrist tendencies?
It's probably in minus numbers.
Oh my. Okay.
Yes. They basically, the moderate Republicans in the legislature, you can probably count on maybe five or six fingers. Okay. So that's a start. But he's got to get more than that. There will have to be what we call in the business equity. All right. If the D's put up so many votes, the R's have to put up so many votes. Because here's what the elephant in the room is. A revenue increase, whether you call it a user fee or a tax hike or whatever it is something that makes politicians vulnerable in the next election. That's why they have to hold hands, borrow the governor's favorite song, Kumbaya, and sing it going over the cliff voting for this, so that there is mutual cover for each other in the next election.
Several on your panel, and you included, were quite...
You actually watched this thing last night?
Were quite surprised. I watch it every year.
Oh, that's very sweet of you.
You didn't have anything else to do last night?
No hockey.
This is always a loose, informed session following the State of the State. That's must-see TV, as far as I'm concerned. But you and several of your panelists last night were really surprised that Detroit never... came up at all in the State of the State, not once. I'll repeat what Steve Henderson of the Free Press asked you.
Yep.
What would he have said, or what could he have said?
First of all, in the governor's defense, all right, and he doesn't need to be defended, but let's put this in context. He's not the only governor to have ignored Detroit. Jim Blanchard did it regularly in the State of the State. So did Jennifer Granholm. John Engler did. Milliken did talk about Detroit, but he's been the last governor to really do it. This was a little disingenuous on the governor's part because he has said, as Detroit goes, so goes the whole state. Well, guess what, Governor? Detroit is on the brink of going into bankruptcy, and we don't even get a word about it. It was the elephant in the room that he didn't even shoot at. Now, on radio this morning in Detroit, he said, well, this was about the State of the State. Well, Detroit, last time I checked, is part of the state, and the entire state will be affected if Detroit goes in the dumper. And so not to address that, I thought, was an omission. And what he could have simply said was, Mr. Mayor, who was in the audience, Mr. Bing, and Detroit City Council, you're starting to make some progress where we need to go. Keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep an emergency manager out of your town if I can, but we have more work to do. You know, lift the people up in Detroit.
He could have said some good things.
Plus, he's got damage control in Detroit. There's a lot of folks in Detroit that don't like him, and then not only don't they like him, now he ignores them, which makes it even worse. I think I'm not sure why they did that.
We just have a few seconds, but I've got to get your take on this. Is a Republican governor who also wants to expand or establish two new state agencies, or expand an agency or establish an agency.
Yeah, Republican governors are sort of noted for tearing down the bureaucracy.
Here's this guy
standing up and say, hey, let's create a new State Department. And all the anti-government folks are going, sure, let's hire some more bureaucrats. This may be just a combination of bringing current agencies together. It may not be adding additional people. He thinks it's just an efficiency thing. But it was a little curious to create the Department of Insurance and Financial Services.
Yeah. Well, let's bring in Senator Gretchen Whitmer here. Before we bring the senator in, though, our producer Joe Lindstroth was on the Capitol, just outside the Capitol last night. He spoke with a few of the people protesting here. Let's give that a listen.
There are a lot of issues I'm really frustrated about. As a woman, curtailing my reproductive rights, my access to contraception, is outrageous. Also, I'm really concerned about the privatization of education in the state.
I'm in the building trades, and we're looking at a tax on prevailing wage, project labor agreements. It's one thing after another on working families. And then they're going to talk about raising taxes on vehicles and gas that directly affect those of us that have to commute from job to job.
I have no regard for him at all. I do believe that he pulled the wool over everybody's eyes because he knew that these legislators were going out at the end of the year, and I think he was behind the right to work stuff. I think he's behind getting all the cheap jobs to come to Michigan, and I truly believe that he's willing to let our state become polluted, our air, our water, our ground, our everything, and then claim that we're pure Michigan. and we are not going to be pure Michigan, and I do not approve of his governorship at all.
That was Abby Clark from Lansing, Steve Gulick from Ann Arbor, and Pat Hartsoe from Grand Rapids. They were outside the Capitol last night during Governor Snyder's State of the State speech. And on that note, we welcome State Senator Gretchen Whitmer into our current state microphones. We're really glad you're here today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Appreciate it an awful lot.
She doesn't mean that.
in your response last night, you urged the governor to reach across the aisle to get important business done. For the governor's part, here's how he put it in his speech.
We can have policy differences. We can have different perspectives. But ultimately, we're hired by the citizens and the people of the state of Michigan. And our role, our responsibility, is to give them great customer service. And to give them the best customer service, it's not dwelling on our differences, our different perspectives, and those kind of issues. It's really stepping up to say, how do we work together with respect to make sure we do the best job possible?
A few of Tim's panelists last night on WKAR-TV said that you played the class warfare card in your response. How do you think this reaching across the aisle should unfold going forward?
Well, I think that we've got a lot of big issues ahead of us, whether it's infrastructure or educating our kids and our workforce. And we've got to figure out how to work together. And I don't know how anyone could listen to my State of the State response and say there was class warfare after what we've seen the last 2 years, a governor who has systematically and time again chosen corporate bottom lines over the people. When he does a $2 billion tax shift coming out of our schools, being paid for by pension taxes, eliminating credits like the earned income tax credit on working families.
Yeah, but you would maintain that the governor is waging class warfare.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
My question is how anyone could accuse me of doing that. And all I've said is going forward, we still have a lot of big issues to tackle. I do believe that there's common ground to be had, but it is incumbent on the governor and the Republicans to reach across the aisle. After the way they conducted lame duck, I think that that's a reach that has to happen, and it's going to be a tough one, but I think it can happen.
Could you conceivably help bring Democrats to the road funding cause?
Oh, sure. I think that there are a lot of us who know and understand that infrastructure investment is something that is important for the health and the welfare of our state. But at the same time, if it represents another shift onto the citizenry for us to pay for something after they've just raised all of our taxes, I'm going to be very skeptical.
I find it interesting. Why do you say the Republicans have to reach to you? Don't arms go both ways?
Oh, of course they do, Tim.
So
but let's look at what happened
them?
In lame duck.
Yeah.
The governor told us he had one position and then he did an about face. The same citizens he just, in his clip, said, we work for them. Those are the people that he buffaloed and then locked out of the Capitol.
Yes, so everybody understands that. But at what point will you turn the page and say, all right, enough of this, let's move on?
Oh, we
or
have.
Do you?
We don't turn the page. You can't forget we've got a fundamental issue of trust at the Capitol. It's become very divisive because of the actions that they took during lame duck. I do think that we set the tone that we recognize there are important issues, and perhaps we can find that common ground. No one in our press conference or in our statement said we're absolutely foreclosed to anything. We've opened the door, but it's incumbent on them to try to earn trust back again.
As the governor tries to patch together a transportation funding formula, and he will need Democrats to get that done, does that give you hope about your own education plan, the Michigan 2020 plan? Is there something that could get done on education in exchange as a part of a transportation bargain?
Well, I certainly hope that education is going to be something that we start to talk about. I was really disappointed that the governor only mentioned education in two very cursory ways. One was to expand the education authority, which can't even pay its bills right now in Detroit. And the second was talking about early childhood education for some of the 29,000 kids out there who need it. You know, that's not good enough. We've got to focus on education and make an investment, make sure that our K-12 schools are working, but also that college is not too costly for our kids to get that education.
Are you willing to do some vote trading?
I'm willing to talk about everything, but we're not going to just talk about the Republican agenda. We're going to talk about the Democratic agenda for the people of our state.
Well, will there be a list developed by the Democrats of, Governor, if you want votes on transportation, sir, here's what we want.
Tim, if negotiations play out like any good group of people sitting around a table who honestly want to get something done, I think we're going to have to listen to both people and make sure that everyone's got something that they can be proud of to get through the legislature.
Let's make a deal.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there are...
Wait a minute. She laughed at that. I want to get an end. Let's make a deal is what we're doing here.
Well, I think that anyone who goes into a negotiation has to feel good that they've gotten something that is important for the people they represent. And so, yeah. Let's make a deal.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but going into the election in November, just a couple of months ago, Republicans were making noise that education absolutely needs more money. It needs more funding, correct?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you've heard the business leaders of Michigan say, we need 100,000 more four-year degree holders in 25 years just for the jobs that we have today. Now, if you want to pull people into Michigan, you want to pull business into Michigan, we've got to have a concentration of talent. Look at the work that Lou Glazer and economists from all over are doing. We've got metrics to back this up. It's an investment in our economy, and more importantly, it's an investment in our people and our quality of life, and that, I think, is something that the governor has not made a priority in the last 2 years, and we've got to as we move forward.
One thing that struck me about the address last night was, for a data-driven CPA governor, there was not a whole lot of metrics in this thing. Should we wait until the budget message for that, or were you expecting more, Tim?
No. And State of the States is not the budget message, and all governors have been criticized on that front. Where are the details? What I found interesting is that he's got a whole bunch of stuff on the dashboard, but he only picked out four or five things that he could edit that looked good. What about the child death rate, poverty rate, all the other items on the dashboard that obviously got lost, or maybe he forgot to bring them up? I'm not sure. My guess is they did that on purpose.
That's our job to bring those up.
Exactly. That's what I just did.
The governor is also... Do you want to respond to that, Gretchen?
For once in my life, I agree with everything Tim Skubick just said.
Which is a dangerous moment for both of us. Write that down. 9:23 at 21 seconds in.
The governor has called for ethics reforms, which jumped out at me. How do you think that discussion will go? With Speaker Jace Bolger if the governor sits down with Speaker Bolger and starts to have a conversation about ethics, how do you suppose that will go in the aftermath of the Roy Schmidt episode?
I'm going to defer to the senator.
Okay.
Well, I have to tell you that I thought when the governor started talking about transparency, I made the comment in our press conference that was laughable. The Detroit News picked it up and said I called the whole speech laughable. That's not accurate. But I thought his transparency diatribe was, because after the way they conducted themselves in lame duck, doing an about-face, locking people out of the building, not having any public hearings, trying to take away legislators' microphones because they don't want to hear anyone who disagrees with them, and then to tell us he wants to start talking about transparency and ethics just really it's a great goal, but after the way they've conducted themselves, it's really hard to listen to.
Senator, with all due respect, the idea of pushing legislation without hearings is not unique to Republicans. When Democrats have been in control, haven't they done exactly the same thing?
I don't believe so, Tim. And I think that running such a huge policy issue during lame duck and locking people out of the debate is just offensive to our system of democracy.
But your friend Mr. Bolger said, look, we've been debating this for 2 years. It doesn't have to be debated on the House floor to be debated.
You know what? People have been talking about gay marriage for decades. And you know what? If we'd pushed it through without any debate, people would be hollering from the rooftop. So, no, an idea has been bandied about in society, or in, you know, cocktail parties or whatever, is not good enough. That's not how the system's supposed to
work.
So
how many hearings,
and that's why there's such a fundamental problem at the Capitol.
How many hearings would have taken to satisfy you? 1, 2, 3, 7, 80, 90? How many?
Three.
All
sure.
Right.
That's a good start.
Okay.
How, if the tables were turned, Tim brings up an interesting historical point, and maybe nobody here knows the answer. But, I mean, have there been Democratic lame duck? Have the tables been turned in the past where there were Democratic majorities in the legislature and a Democratic executive and a lame duck session suddenly erupted and things got pushed through? I don't know.
In my years of doing this, I have never seen such a raucous lame duck session.
Okay.
This one was a history maker. But I do know that Democrats in the past that have had control have jammed, quote, jammed stuff through. If you got the votes, you do it. Does it look bad? Is it ugly? Yes. And the senator makes a legitimate point. Look, public input in the process is important. There's no question about
sure.
it. But at some point, you vote on this stuff, and the R's needed to move on this because they knew if they waited for the new year, the chances of passing Right to Work were going to go out the window. Am I right, Senator?
I think it would have been harder. And I think it would have been harder if they actually would have listened to people and listened to economists, what it means. The governor can have a press conference and say, oh, Indiana's doing great, and everyone takes that as an article of faith. But when you have an economist come in and tell you, guess what? None of those tax credits have drawn any of those businesses here. Those businesses were already here that they've quoted. Guess what? They've got lower per capita income and more people on state aid. Is that the Michigan we want us to be? The answer is no, and that's why the governor didn't want the public to have input, because those facts would have been out there.
I think one of the problems about being data-driven is you can pick the data that you want to drive. And I think this governor says he understands that. But you and I, all of us in this room, know that you can find the data to prove just about anything that you want if you work hard enough and pay the economists and the researchers enough money.
Where is the public's mind in the aftermath of Right to Work right now, in your opinion? I imagine, Gretchen, you would suggest that there is widespread dissatisfaction with this move. But is that softening? There is a Republican poll, a Mitchell poll, that came out the other day. It said 50% are okay with it and 50% aren't.
Well, and you started saying it's a Republican poll.
Well, it is.
You know, liars figure and figures liar, just the way that Tim made mention. But I think that a lot of people feel that they were defrauded. And that started with the governor's very first budget, when he shifted business taxes onto our pensioners and taking $2 billion out of schools. Where was the nerd who loved education? He just stole $2 billion out of our public schools. He's taxing our pensioners to pay for business tax breaks. You know, I think that feeling that people were defrauded started a long time ago, and it really became concrete after the way they conducted themselves in December.
This may sound like a gotcha question, Senator Whitmer, from the heart. It's not meant that way. Regarding Right to Work, some on the right have pointed out that the left regards a woman's right to choose to have an abortion a sacred thing, a very, very important thing. They then ask how an individual's right to choose can be sacred in one set of circumstances and so objectionable in another. Isn't an individual's right to choose, isn't that a desirable thing across a wide set of circumstances?
I think it's offensive for anyone to say that there's an analogy between a woman's choice over what happens to her own body versus a democratic process of whether or not to join a union. It's offensive basis, but I'll tell you that it is a democratic process when people decide to join a union, and you are bound by the decision. I did not like it when George Bush was elected, but I could not pull my taxes from being collected by the federal government. I live in a democracy, and I abide by the rules, and that's all we've ever asked of people in unions.
Thank you so much for both of you. We're out of time. We could go for a while longer, but we can't. Tim Skubick, WKAR-TV, Senator Gretchen Whitmer, many thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.